This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Power Lunch with Laura Bennett.
On Hope 103.2, joining us, author and pastor of Mosaic Church in Los Angeles, Erwin McManus. Thanks for being on the show.
I'm so glad to be with you all the way across the pond.
Yeah, I love that modern technology allows us to do this. And I have to say, The Way of the Warrior, one of the greatest things I think I learned in the book is that you did a soul cycle class. Well done.
I don't know if it was well done, but I was completely done when I was finished.
There's a reason that they actually work your soul hard too, I think, in those sessions. But the book is a great one. And clearly with that title, you want to train people up for a very heroic, fighting fit kind of life. What is the fight that you think we're all in?
Well, I think that all of us are in some way trying to find not just meaning in our life, but finding a sense of fulfillment and even happiness. And I think a huge part of our struggle is that life always falls in some way short of our ideals. And we struggle with stuff like depression and anxiety and stress and fear and worry. And that stuff steals from us the joy that we actually long for.
Yeah, and I mean, when you actually say in the book early on that we don't have world peace until we have inner peace, that probably touches on a little bit of that. But why do you think that's the case?
Well, because human history is a reflection of the human heart. You cannot create a story that you don't have within you. And the world is at war because we're at war. And we have violence and terrorism and wars in the world because we have bitterness and envy and anger and rage within us. And so a lot of times we try to act like the world's problems are external. Actually, the world's problems are a manifestation of the inner turmoil in the human spirit.
It puts a lot of responsibility then on our ability to address our inner need for peace. Probably one of the things that limits that a little bit as well is our need for control. What have you done to foster peace in your own life?
One of the things I talk about in the book is that one of the great obstacles to peace is trying to control everything. And one of the great dilemmas is that we try to control things that are outside our control, and we end up relinquishing control for the things that are in our control. And one of the huge aspects of finding inner peace is realizing that there are some things that are outside of your control, and you have to just celebrate the mystery and the uncertainty and the chaos of that part of life experience. But if you'll take control over what you do have control over, your choices, your attitude, your values, your priorities, then your life begins to be experienced at a completely different level, no matter how much chaos or uncertainty you have around you.
And I feel like particularly, I mean, for someone like you who lives a life with a public profile, but all of us in our relationship to social media, we don't have control over the things people say about the choices that we make and the life goals that we do have for ourselves. How do you manage that side of the picture where people can say whatever they want about how you live?
Oh, my goodness. I live constantly with people evaluating my life, analyzing every choice I make, projecting motives on me. And if my internal happiness, if my internal peace was based on what other people said about me, I would probably just jump off of a bridge, to be honest with you. And you know, the reality is that if your inner world is completely dependent on the opinion of others, you're a slave to the opinion of others. You have to come to the place in your life where you stop worrying about what people say about you and you're more concerned about what you say about yourself. You have to begin a life of intention.
Yeah, it's so hard to get to that place sometimes, I think. And you do share a very wise section in the book about knowing how to pick your battles. And it's not just about the people that we respond to on social media or the arguments that we have with our kids or not, but also about the things that we pursue. How do you think we can choose what fights to actually take on?
Well, I think one of the great dangers is to fight battles that really make no progress in your life, that really in the end do not matter. And what I would say is don't spend your energy trying to fight battles for yourself. Spend your energy fighting your battles for others and for the intention for which you live. Don't let other people decide the battle that you're in. And so you need to decide what your life is about, what you're going to get up in the morning and do, and let everything else just sort of come as it will. But you need to stay on task and don't get off course. And the more public you are, the more people will attack you. But you need to realize that most of these people are rooted in such unhappiness that they end up attacking people they feel have the happiness they long for.
To feel clarity then on what ones you're going to choose, it sounds like you do need to actually get away from the noise and find that quiet space to make those decisions. Is that what you do in your life?
Well, I live in L.A. It's a very loud city. and I think that some people, they make a larger choice to live in a very quiet place. But I've had to make a harder decision to live in a very chaotic place, in a place that's really fast-paced with millions of people. So it's really important for me to find ways to disconnect myself from all the pressures of life and really deal with my inner world. And I try to find time where I don't have my phone on for, and it's hard, let me tell you. I mean, my phone is my pacifier.
Yeah.
and if I don't have it, I'm crying. And so, you know, try to take at least 4, 5, 6 days a week where you're having an hour a day where you're disconnected from the things around you, where you're not worrying about what other people are trying to access you for. And you just need that time for not only just for reflection and renewal, but you need it for creativity. Mm. I'm a writer and an artist. And if I'm not spending time in my internal world, I'm not creating. I'm just managing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a discipline that I think a lot of us could probably do better to adopt. And hearing you on the platform and even in reading The Way of the Warrior, all of your messages, I really would say, carry this undertone of urgency. What is it that drives that?
That's a very good observation. I probably would be very much defined by a sense of urgency. And I think urgency is the intersection of passion and intention. And when you have passion and intention, you have a deep sense of the importance of every moment in life. And when people are around me and I'm trying to help them learn how to become better communicators, one of the things I ask them is, what are you fighting for? You know, what injustice in the world, or what struggle in the human heart has made you so angry you have to go to war against it to save people?
Mm.
And it doesn't matter if it's poverty or loneliness, if it's social injustice or a person's sense of insignificance. You have to decide something matters to you more than yourself, and that you're going to war not for you, but for others.
Mm, and you've certainly found a way to make it clear about the passion that you carry. And within that is a belief that all of us are meant to do something great before we die and bring voice to something great before we die. What does greatness mean to you?
Well, I think those kinds of terms evolve over a lifetime. You know, and what we think greatness is when we're 11 is different than hopefully when we're, whatever, 61. And certainly when you're 21 and 31, those concepts keep evolving. And I try to help people, especially in L.A., to understand that fame and greatness are not the same thing. And that fame in many ways is what you do for yourself, but greatness is what you do for others. And we need to reclaim the language of greatness and realizing that the highest level of greatness is the good you do for the world.
And it's a term that people can feel really uncomfortable with, because we link greatness with winning, winning with being competitive, and ambition particularly can get a bad rap in the church. So what's your view on competitiveness?
Yeah, I'm for it. I think ambition has been given a really bad rap. We think a person should be a little bit ambitious, but not too ambitious. And that's because we don't think ambition is a virtue. We think it's actually almost like a disease. Now, we don't tell a person love, but don't love too much, or have integrity, but don't have too much integrity. We never tell a person, you know, be compassionate, but don't have too much compassion. Whenever something's actually a virtue, we think you cannot have too much of it.
Right.
And we've misunderstood the scriptures, because we think ambition is a negative, but ambition is a God-given virtue. The Bible actually warns against selfish ambition, not against ambition.
Mm.
And so, you know, if it's selfish ambition, no amount of it is good. But if it's selfless ambition, you can't have enough of it.
Right. And it's a good distinction to be able to make, because whether you're going to be an ambitious person, for the world or within the church, I think there probably would be quite a different feeling behind it, and a need to also manage your energy, because that's one of the downfalls of anybody who's competitive and any of that, is that burnout can be around the corner. Your life is quite full. So how have you managed your energy?
Yeah, I think that a huge shift that people need to make is to move from time management to energy management. And if you can do that, you can actually address every stage in your life, because at different times in your life, you'll have different amounts of energy. And you'll realize that there's some things that simply do not energize you, and they take up so much time because you don't have the energy to do it well. And there are other things that so energize you that when you're doing it, time just flies. You don't even realize you've been working all day because you love it. And the more a person can move from living a life of obligation to living a life of intention, they'll find themselves more and more energy. I don't think burnout is ever the result of working too hard. I think burnout is the result of misappropriating your energy and not giving it to the right things.
And it's clear from reading the book that basketball is one of the things that absolutely energizes you. If anyone's seen you on the platform, I feel like your taste in fashion is also something fantastic. Does that energize you, getting dressed for the morning and choosing what you're going to wear?
I was energized as a fashion designer. I had several fashion companies. I love creating things, and I love art. And to me, fashion is just a way of wearing art and telling a story of your life. And I'm admittedly very eccentric.
And you've made it okay to wear like mismatching shoes on occasion, which I really respect you for.
I think I feel a particular calling to destroy convention.
It's what anyone who listens to you likes about you, I'm sure, Erwin. And when you wrap up The Way of the Warrior, I think this had to be one of my favourite chapters. You kind of do a bit of an ode or an admiration chapter almost for the wounds that we experience as warriors. Why do you like scars and the stories that they tell?
It's a funny thing. People ask me all the time if I have tattoos, and people are shocked that I do not have any tattoos. People, in fact, even when I go places, they just always tell me, you look like a person that should be tatted up. And I always tell them, I said, I don't have any tattoos because I'm too indecisive. I just couldn't make decisions that I had to hold on to my whole life. For me, like giving my life to Jesus, that was a permanent decision. Marrying my wife, Kim, that was a permanent decision. But other than that, I don't really have a lot of permanent decisions. But I look at it and go, look, a lot of times tattoos are your effort to put on your skin what you really want on your soul. And I think that all my tattoos are internal. I have scars. In fact, I just watched a small clip of a movie I was in years ago, and I can see a large gash over my eye because I crashed in head first into another basketball player and just exploded my face open. And I thought, a lot of people would try to cover all their scars and try to cover all their wounds, but to me, they just add to the texture of your life. They tell you that you've been in a story, and that story wasn't easy. That story cost you something. And it's just like I live in L.A., and everybody, does all the faceless stuff and whatever is like Botox and collagen. And you go in, and people go, hey, do you want me to do something with that? And I'm like, no, I earned all these wrinkles, And all these young speakers I know, they get makeup every Sunday before they preach. I never get makeup before I preach at Mosaic. I mean, I want a person to see the story in my face because I earned it.
Yeah, you've got to embrace your wrinkles. I feel like Judah Smith is not allowed to listen to this interview. I'll just make sure that somehow it never reaches his ears. But I'm now curious, what's the movie that you did? Is it one we can watch?
Oh, I've been in a few movies, and I won't tell you. But a few of them are coming out this year, and we'll see how they do. But I just my very, very small parts.
We'll keep a keen eye out for you, Erwin. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
All right. Hey, it's been great talking to you guys. Take care.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.